President Trump's most important job is going to be the trickiest. It's the area where the president can make the biggest progress, but it's also where he can be misled into catastrophic errors. I'm referring to his nomination of literally hundreds of federal judges, including nominations to the U.S. Supreme Court. The good news is that you can help AFA Action's constitutional experts research nominees and give advice to the president. But to do this analysis, AFA Action needs your help. So please visit AFAAction.net to donate today.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network on this Monday, March the 10th, 2025. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Welcome back to the land of the living.
Man, back with bells on. I was
You were wiped out last week, weren't you?
I had walking pneumonia, first time I've ever had that, and a pretty brutal week. My wife took good care of me.
Yeah, Fred, good morning. Fred Jackson.
Yes, we're you know, Ed's got a cold, but he's also in mourning over something else.
What would that be?
The captain of his Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Got traded.
Got traded.
Okay. Got traded to the one team we hate the most, Florida Panthers. Oh, I'm telling you, it was just a bad week all around.
That's disappointing. Did that send you into like a dark spiral?
I was in a dark place. And I'm not talking about the bedroom.
Right.
I was in a dark place. And it wasn't a cold, Fred.
It wasn't a cold, Fred. That is an understatement. Ed was wiped out.
I was wiped out.
Now,
and I hope people can bear with my voice. I lost my sense of smell too. I also did too.
My wife.
I can't smell anything. I told my
wife. Are you serious?
I told my wife I smell bad. She said, "Well, that started a long time ago."
Right.
The pneumonia.
So anyway, yeah, you got a little weakened voice, but
yeah. I'm on the way back. My son, I missed my grandson's birthday party on Saturday. Nobody wants some guy
hacking
around them. It's just a bummer. But my son did bring me some pizza.
That's comfort food.
It is from the party.
Well, now I did offer in the middle of last week when you were in the middle of the hurricane. Whatever it was, the flu hurricane you were facing.
Yeah.
And I did offer you to bring you to your house if you wanted me to.
Yes, you did.
Some cough medicine with codeine.
Yes. And I reminded you that would be illegal.
Is it really illegal?
I think
I was just trying to help a friend out.
I think it's prescription.
I'll be a sheriff's going to come get me for bringing cough medicine?
Don't make me laugh. I told my son, I said, I think I can get through the show if Tim doesn't make me laugh, because that's what starts the cough. Yeah. But okay. you did offer that. I appreciated that. I did have some prescription cough medicine. Oh. It was not codeine related.
Well, as I've said before, I mean, the only thing that I quote enjoy about being sick is the codeine.
Because, it's hard to top that.
Because you take that right before you go to bed.
That's a good sleep.
Now you will have some wild, vivid dreams that you can't explain to people.
That's true.
But it definitely will knock you out and make you sleep. But it does require a prescription.
Yes, it does.
I don't think you're supposed to hand it friend to friend.
No.
I probably wouldn't have been the first person to do that.
I tell people all the time.
Right.
People will say, "Wow, I think I got a few left over." I said, "You can't do that. You can't just bring me
drugs. Prescription medicine?"
Yes.
Yeah, because that's prescription for you.
Yes.
But we Americans, we love doing that. We pass out prescriptions.
I never finished this bottle here.
That's right. I'll never finish this. You take it. All right. We hope everybody had a great weekend. And ladies and gentlemen, it's about to get warm across the good U.S. of A.
I think
Red and everybody's happy, aren't they?
Yep. 70-degree temperatures.
For us here in Mississippi.
That's right.
We're going to hit 71 today, 78 tomorrow, 78 Wednesday.
All right. So let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
Do you think this is for real? Can I put the sweaters away?
I think so.
No.
You think there'll be one more cold?
I was told for years, and it's for the most part, it's true, that we have one more big drop in temperatures around Easter.
Oh, okay.
Well, Fred, you know what? I'm going to go charismatic on you right here. I do not receive that. I do not receive that at all. Is that okay?
That's absolutely okay. That's okay.
I don't receive that, but anyway, we'll see what happens with Ed's prediction. All right, I mean, with Fred's prediction. All right, listen, a lot going on in our country and around the world. It is true, President Trump slept for 3 hours last night, which was a personal record for him the last 6 months, I think. No, things are happening at a fast pace in our country as a result of the election last November. And by and large, it's all good, I believe, for our nation and our country. However, it has upset some of our friends to the north, what President Trump is doing with respect to the tariffs. Right, Fred?
That is correct. The capital L, and I have to always say this because in Canada, the two major parties are the capital Liberal Party and the capital C Conservative Party. Because often when we say liberal and conservative, it's a descriptive.
Right.
But these are actual parties in Canada. So Justin Trudeau.
Is that like Republican Democrat here or no?
Yes.
Not exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could juxtapose
okay,
them.
Okay, okay.
So Justin Trudeau has been the Prime Minister of Canada now for many years. And back, you may remember, a couple of months ago, he announced his resignation. He is extremely unpopular. The Liberal Party up there has been in the cellar when it comes to their rating about 30% of the Canadian people like them. Justin Trudeau says, I'm quitting, and we're going to have a leadership convention. Well, that leadership convention was held this weekend, and a former central banker, Mark Carney, who Trudeau, prior to his resignation, had said, I want Mr. Carney to be our finance minister. Trudeau actually fired his old finance minister, who also wanted to be the leader, but she didn't get anywhere. So on the weekend, Mark Carney won that by 85.9% of the vote.
Wow.
So the report is that by this weekend, it'll be Prime Minister Mark Carney. He will be the new Prime Minister of Canada. And the speculation is, according to some of the major media in Canada, that he will call a snap election.
Like crackle pop?
Real quick.
Like that?
Just like that. And elections happen just like that in Canada, too, because unlike here where you have months of campaigning, up there it's about 30, 40 days. That's it. They'll
kind of liking the way that sounds.
I mean, I'm with you.
Yeah.
This months and months dragged
campaigning.
Out.
Campaigning?
Yes.
Yeah, anyway.
But anyway, so we could have an election very soon. Now, the head of the Conservative Party, Pierre Poilievre, is very popular. He is winning the polls in Canada. And the major election issue is going to be Donald Trump and his tariffs. Both parties are saying they don't like what Donald Trump is doing. They really detest this Donald Trump's statements about Canada becoming a 51st state. I mean, that's just a burr in the saddles up there. And so both parties are talking about that. But here's the issue. The Liberal Party is very unpopular because of the political decisions they have made. In Canada, they have what's called a carbon tax, which is just creating misery for the Canadian people. It's added on to just about everything because Trudeau is a big climate change guy.
Yeah.
All right, so you have that. Also in Canada, the so-called great medical system, the socialized medicine, is basically falling apart up there. It is horror story after horror story right now. I heard saw a video of a doctor in Alberta on the weekend saying a person, let's say a Canadian, they're having hip problems, knee problems, they need a hip or knee replacement. This doctor said, at least this is true in Alberta, which is the more conservative of the provinces there, you have to wait 2 years to get your first doctor's appointment. 2 years.
And a lot of people with those kinds of conditions are in a tremendous amount of pain.
Absolutely.
You can't wait 2 years just to talk to a doctor.
No, I've told you guys before, where I come from in Nova Scotia, it is not uncommon to see ads in the paper about Thursday in the week, Friday in the week, that a certain hospital in one city will be shut down for the weekend because they're all on government budgets. And when their budgets run out, they have to shut down.
Right.
And so, you know, the people in that town have to go to another town if they have a medical emergency. So this goes on and on. Up there, a general practitioner can only see so many patients. And when they've reached that level, they cannot see any more.
Yeah, and this has got nothing to do with whether the doctors have compassion or not. There's just no more money allotted by the government.
No, they're not allowed.
Right.
They're not allowed to take these patients. So you're going to see in the mainstream media here, Donald Trump is going to be the issue they're talking about. And the liberals are trying to use Donald Trump more so than the Conservative Party as the issue. I mean, this Mark Carney, who's going to be the next prime minister, is saying, I'm here to save Canada from Donald Trump and his tariffs. And so expect to hear that over the next few weeks.
So that's what's going on in Canada, which is a big trading partner
right.
with the United States. Ed, you, the three of us were talking, and I know that none of us would what I would be considered experts on tariffs, right?
I'm not even amateur status, but
well, pretend like you.
I am going to
pretend like you know something about. Well, I think that's okay because I think our listeners would get bored to yes. tears if we did a deep dive into yes. tariffs. Don't
that's,
you?
That's right.
I know I would. I'd tune out.
I would deep, as well.
Deep dive into tariffs.
I'd go take some more cough medicine.
I just like using the word slap.
Slap tariffs. I know.
Huh?
You've liked
what,
that.
What else do you do with tariffs? You can't.
You can apply.
You don't gently hand over.
You can apply tariffs.
You can apply tariffs.
But Trump slapped tariffs.
He slaps tariffs.
Yeah.
All right. So here's my question to explain to our listening audience out there about tariffs. Because this is the big issue now with Canada and Mexico and the United States. Now, there are some other tariffs that Trump has initiated or talked about. But basically, he's been talking about putting the tariffs on, 25% tariffs on products made in Canada. I don't know, all products or in products made in Mexico. Now, explain to me what Trump's basic argument is for doing something like that.
Well, both of those countries you mentioned, China as well, we've had trade imbalances. In other words, we are importing to these countries more than we're exporting, which helps their manufacturing and production base. They get to sell their products in our country because Canada, for example, most of our listeners have probably seen on social media these lists of tariffs that Canada has on American goods going into Canada, okay? And the whole point of tariffs, and this is just an example, but this was a thing. If John Deere decides we're going to shut down our manufacturing plant for tractors and riding mowers in the U.S., and we're going to build a new plant in Mexico because labor's cheaper, and then we're going to sell our John Deere products back into America at a higher price, we make more profit, okay? Donald Trump is saying, oh, no, you ain't, okay? If you move your factory to Mexico, your tractor's coming in here, I'm going to slap a huge tariff on it so that your tractors cost more, and you're not going to be able to sell them because I want American tractors to get the better deal. Tariffs are meant to protect business that already exists in this country and to make it attractive for other companies to move their production facilities here to this country. And what President Trump is saying is Mexico and Canada already have more tariffs on American products. We're going to even that up.
Okay, but Fred, when you do that, okay, that sounds reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's fair.
Yes.
Okay. However, when you initiate tariffs against what is the status quo in terms of pricing of items, then you are risking the price of a lot of products that we the United States get from Mexico and from Canada going way up, aren't we?
Yes, no, true. That's true. And Donald Trump on the weekend, President Donald Trump on the weekend said, at the front end of all of this, there may be some hurting going on. In fact, here's a clip from an interview he did on the weekend on this matter we're talking about. Cut number five.
Are you expecting a recession this year?
I hate to predict things like that. There is a period of transition because what we're doing is very big. We're bringing wealth back to America. That's a big thing. And there are always periods of, it takes a little time. It takes a little time. But I think it should be great for us. I mean, I think it should be great.
So basically what Trump is after, if there's going to be tariffs, he wants reciprocal tariffs. In other words, if Canada charges the United States 10% tariffs, he wants 10% tariffs on Canadian goods. The 25% thing is just to get the ball rolling on talks. I think that's where he wants to be because Trump says we have a trade imbalance with these Mexico and with Canada and with China, by the way. So that's kind of where we are. By the way, the head of the UAW, I saw an interview with him on the weekend, and he's in favor of tariffs.
Yeah,
because it's going to help auto workers in this country.
Right.
So that's why. So that's a case of, you know, the middle class. The middle class is something that the liberals say is going to get hurt by the tariffs. No, they'll be helped by this eventually. But as Trump is admitting, it's going to take a little time to get there. We saw the reaction from the stock market last week.
Right.
We had some major drops and things. As Trump says, just going to take a little time. Everything will come back to the middle, and everybody will be happy.
A lot of people don't remember this. Historically, when President Reagan was elected in 1980, defeating Jimmy Carter, and they instituted tax cuts, It took almost 2 years.
Yes.
Before we still had economic trouble for the first 2 years of President Reagan's first term, because these kinds of changes do take time to kind of get on track. So I think that's what President Trump is trying to prepare the American people for. I mean, a lot of changes that he's instituting.
Yeah.
It's going to take time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all the tariff talk. That's tariff talk, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the time we have.
So, like table talk.
All right, so you're listening to the radio program Today's Issue on the American Family Radio Network. Next topic, Fred.
Well, next topic, big story also. On the weekend, immigration officials arrested a Palestinian activist who happens to be a grad student at Columbia University. They believe that he has been one of the key leaders in these anti-Israel protests that erupted within 48 hours of that massacre in Israel back in October of 2023. So this guy, they believe he has connections with Hamas, probably being funded by a country like Qatar or something of that nature. Everybody was really amazed how quickly these protests came together.
Right.
And they all had the same tents they were setting up, the whole thing. They knew it was being financed. But this guy, and his name is Mahmoud Khalil, graduate student at Columbia. So on the weekend, they went to this guy's apartment, ICE did, and they arrested this guy. He's in this country on a green card. They say they're going to revoke that green card. This morning on Fox and Friends, former U.S. Special Envoy Eli Kohanim talked about the deportation of these college protest leaders. Cut number seven.
Well, President Trump just came in office January 21. Yeah. We saw 8 days later that he issued an executive order, which gives the federal government a whole of government approach to combating anti-Semitism. And here we are already seeing this foreign national who is here in the United States on the premise that he does not support terrorists, foreign terrorist organizations like Hamas. And yet he was one of the leaders. He was caught on film, particularly participating in all these activities, which last week left one faculty member at Barnard College, my alma mater, in the hospital. So we're seeing the Trump administration take very strong early actions that will hopefully lead to the deportation of this individual, Mahmoud Khalil, and hopefully we're going to see many more of these folks deported who need to be out of our country.
So also, we learned late last week that Trump has followed through on his threats to Columbia University. Remember, we had the presidents of these major universities where these protests were being held. President Trump said, enough is enough. We're cutting off federal funding. And he announced the first $400 million of federal funding that goes to Columbia for research, et cetera, et cetera. He is stopping all of this. He is being very serious about there's got to be an end to these We Hate Israel protests on these campuses.
Yeah.
Well, and what's kind of shocking, I'm not naive, but when all these protests broke out, first of all, let me just say, I would not be surprised if Hamas had funded all this in advance of their attack on Israel, knowing that they would need to at least mute American support for Israel if they were going to succeed in what they were doing. So that's why all these protests popped up almost out of nowhere. These, I believe, were probably...
They were basically liberal college campuses.
Liberal college campuses. These were pre-funded with Hamas money, using Hamas, pro-Hamas people on these college campuses. That's why those protests erupted so quickly and seamlessly all across the country. Same material, same approach. But I will also say that if it had not been for the Republicans holding hearings where they pulled these college presidents in, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We wouldn't have heard a peep.
No.
You know, I'm just thinking out loud here, which is what we do sometimes on this program.
It's our job.
And that is this. What in the world is Columbia University getting $400 million from the federal government in the first place?
That's probably like research grants and...
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, that answers the question, but you know what? Do you know how much money these schools have in endowments? It is, you look up Harvard endowment. I mean, it's like they got as much money as a small country.
I think it's billions.
Yeah. I'm saying, you know, when these, remember when Biden was given student forgiveness?
Yes.
Student loan forgiveness, which is really saying that I'm going to say to an individual student, I'm going to take away your debt and I'm just going to hand it over to the American taxpayer. Mm-hmm. It's not forgiveness. It's a transfer of debt from an individual who went to college and accumulated that debt willingly. I know college is expensive, when you sign up for student loans, you know what you're doing, okay? And you got to pay it back. And Biden said, well, I'm going to try to buy votes among young people by just telling them they don't have to pay it back. I'm just going to give it to the to the taxpayer.
As of February 2025, Harvard University's endowment was valued at almost $52 billion. That's with a B.
Okay. That
is the world's largest university.
Yes,
endowment, but it's the oldest school too, oldest college. But to your point, this is the kind of money we're talking about.
Well, what I was saying about the student forgiveness, I know this is a different topic than what we're talking about here necessarily, but Biden should have said, no, I don't think he should have got involved at all on this kind of issue, but if the schools want to use their endowment to forgive loans from students who want to apply for that, that's a legit transaction between the school and the student. But here you got this all started, this Columbia University, where a lot of this was spearheaded, this anti-Israel, anti-Semitic actions. This fella was not even a U.S. citizen who was instigating all this. And I believe I read, I'm right, where a condition for a green card, for example, you agree not to instigate violence or unrest in your host country, the United States of America. Am I right about that?
I think that's right.
Yep.
I think That's one of the reasons he was detained by ICE, is for violating that stipulation.
Columbia University's endowment, $14.8
billion. All right. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred here. We thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Just Ed and I both got the sniffles a little bit here, so people just have to bear with us. Or not. Or not. You can slap us with a tariff if you...
Or slap us with anything.
That might help.
Drive it out, man.
Drive it out.
Drive the sickness out.
All right. So, also, the one downside of the warming up going on in our country.
Yes.
Temperatures going up is... Here comes the pot, Mr. Pollen,
yes.
Walking down the street.
And you mentioned this morning, I guess on maybe in our story meeting or whatever, but around here we have a lot of Bradford pear trees.
Yeah, we do.
And they tear me up in terms of pollen for some reason, some sort of allergy or whatever.
That's why we've got like eight of them in front of our building here.
Yes.
So you just walk outside. Yeah, the Bradford pears, they're blooming. So anyway. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Should you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Go ahead, Fred. What's your next story?
Well, today, RFK Jr. Is going to be meeting with some of the major food producers in this country, like General Mills. And the big issue is food additives. That became a huge issue during the election campaign. And that's kind of the, as they say, raison d'etre for that Trump has got RFK Jr., that and vaccinations. But anyway, this morning, with regards to this meeting taking place today with these major food producers, Food Babe Blogger is her name.
What?
Food Babe?
Food Babe Blogger says the U.S. has to reform the way we make our food. Cut number 10.
Well, he's going to say, why are you using safer, better for you ingredients in your products overseas? Why does Doritos and Gatorade have artificial food dyes here in the United States and you don't use those ingredients in other countries? We have 7 million children being diagnosed with ADHD, half of them on medication. He's going to be working to make America healthy again. And if we're going to do that, we have to look at the root cause, which is our food. And our food is being poisoned by these companies. They know how to make these products better. They've already reformulated for so many other countries. General Mills makes Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Trix without artificial food dyes, without caramel color level 4, which is an international is linked to cancer, according to the International Agency for Research on Cancer. This has got to stop today, and I hope that the food companies are ready for change. What's going to happen at that meeting, though, I'll tell you, is they're taking their biggest lobbying group, the Consumer Brands Association, with them, and they're going to recommend a long-term change, 4 years. But we know when European regulations took place, many of these companies changed within less than a year. They're going to use that as an excuse to hope that the election cycle comes about and changes leadership in Washington, and then they can not make these changes. So we.
Wow. Who is that now? What was her name?
She's
a blogger.
She runs a blog called the Food Babe.
Well,
Food Babe blog.
Okay.
Vanni Harry is her name. VanniHari.
Listen, this is going to be a throwdown. a Donnybrook, as they say. What's going to happen the next few days with respect to, is RFK Jr. getting together?
Yes.
With these major food manufacturers?
Yes.
To talk about the, additives and ingredients that like she was citing, this lady was saying that we these food manufacturers in the U.S. don't put the same additives in foreign that we send to foreign countries as we do here.
For instance, in Canada, if they want to color, I'm just going to use a breakfast cereal that has different
Fruit
color,
Loops.
Fruit Loops. In Canada, they'll use beet juice. They use vegetable juices to color their fruit
and to flavor it.
Here in the United States, they use something concocted chemical to put in it, which some people say can cause serious health problems. And so what RFK Jr. is saying is we need to be forcing these companies to do what Europe, to do what Canada is doing.
And the reason there are different ingredients in foods, same company, Fruit Loops, in Europe than here in the United States is by law that's required in Europe.
Yes.
And I think this is going to be very popular. I grew up, Frosted Flakes were my favorite food, my favorite breakfast cereal, probably very bad for you just because of the sugar.
But it tastes good.
But it tasted good.
Oh, you're telling me.
So I think this is not, my expectation is, the American people are fully supportive of what RFK Jr. is going to be doing, and I don't think he's going to argue with these people. He's going to tell them, you have a year, like you did in Europe, to make the changes. Now, you have to give them time because they have made orders. They've got to find where to get beet juice and all those kind of things. And so he's just going to say, you're going to have to do it. We are not going to, quote-unquote, study this problem for 4 years. We are instituting the change.
My guess is these companies are going to say, with all due respect, Mr. Secretary, RFK Jr., Secretary of what? Health and Human Services, right? They're going to say to him, our additives, which preserve the foods or are in the foods, have no ill health consequences. So they don't hurt anybody. That's probably what they're going to say, and then they're going to probably institute some kind of studies.
Which is why RFK Jr. is going to say, I don't care. I think that's going to be his approach. He's going to say, I don't care. The federal government says you can't do it. There are studies in Europe. Those are good enough for us. I don't have a dog in the fight.
You don't have a pizza in this hunt.
I don't have pizza on this hunt. I don't know who's telling the truth. In terms of whether the chemicals are safe and the beet juice is, you don't have to have it. I think Americans recognize something's wrong in our country. You can't blame it all on food additives. A lot of additives, I think, help preserve the food, make it have a longer shelf life. I think RFK Jr. is just going to say, we're not going to study it. You're going to do it because we are going to move to ban these dyes and these kinds of chemicals, and you're going to have to find alternatives. We'll give you a year to do it.
Okay. I'm torn because
I know what you're going to say.
I don't like Big Brother, just as a general rule, interfering with private business. I just lean more toward let the individual consumer make their own decisions. Now, the companies have to list their ingredients on the side of the boxes, right?
Right.
And I'm for that, too, so people are knowledgeable about what they're eating. But it's sort of like Michelle Obama telling the cafeterias in where you can't sell Coke, or you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all this yet.
Well, I would say this, that in principle, I agree with you. I also know that life has gotten incredibly complicated. I don't know. I read the ingredients on the side of a package of, I hardly ever eat cereal anymore. I don't know what that stuff is. We do rely on the Food and Drug Administration to make sure it's not bad for us, but yeah. I don't know. Listen, you remember when I disagreed with the government, remember the federal government? This might have been under the Obama administration. They said that all fast food restaurants have to put the calories up on the board when you're ordering your food.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And I thought the same thing. I thought, you know what? Stop getting your fingers into everything. But now I like it. Now I look up there and I go, I can't eat that. That's 1400 calories. I can't have that. So I'll make a decision and change it. So, but I didn't know what the calorie content was. I needed information. And for something like that, I think the government's going to have to force companies to at least give information. But this is an argument that's probably going to happen here in terms of what you're saying.
You know, around our house, my wife, my two daughters, they're really checking the information on the packages. And when they say bioengineered, that's a signal that you need to be careful about those things. Because if there's something in that food that was put together in a laboratory, then maybe your body doesn't absorb it and it collects somewhere. That is the health concern that's there. So I think having the information is definitely, I'm glad those laws have been passed.
And I would say this, I think the mood of the country is we are leery of chemicals. This drove the whole COVID issue. What are you forcing me to put into my body? And if all the cereal manufacturers in this country go with the chemicals, there's very few choices that Americans can make to avoid that. And I think the mood of the country is going to be very open to forcing these countries to go to more natural products. But I can't answer on the science. And you have a valid argument here about how much the government, what can the government tell you what your sodium intake is per day, not just your daily recommended. When are they going to start saying, no, Tim, you've had too much sodium today. You can't have any French fries. Yeah. So that's the opposite side of the question. How intrusive can the government get?
Yeah. Well, I just know I haven't trusted cereal companies since they took away Honey cornflakes. And that happened about 15 years ago. I don't know if I remember where I was when that happened. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about cornflakes that are honey flavored.
Kind of like Honey Nut Cheerios, except
like Honey Nut Cheerios, except they're cornflakes, and Kellogg's stopped making them. Just all of a sudden, it was kind of under the radar.
Yeah, and then you wonder why.
Well, I wonder why.
Yeah.
And I think President Trump is going to be all with RFK Jr. until he starts messing with Diet Coke. and then Trump's going to call RFK Jr. and say, stop it right there.
That's a big, of course, most of people who've been listening to this show.
You're
for a
Diet
long
Coke
time.
Man.
I'm a Diet Coke person. I can't tell you how many times people tell me that's bad for you. Don't you know it has chemicals in it?
Let me see what it's got in there. Do you have any idea? Have you read this back of this?
I have. I can't pronounce some of it.
Carbonated water.
That I can pronounce.
Caramel color. Yeah. There you go. It's got caramel coloring in there.
I'm for the beet juice.
All right. What about this word? Aspartame?
Oh, aspartame. That's a huge. That's a People talk about that all the time. I get people who are not doctors telling me that's bad for me. And I go, listen, I've read as much as I
could. You want me to scratch it out then? What about phosphoric acid?
Phosphoric acid. I love phosphoric acid. I got to get my phosphoric acid fixed.
Hey, I'm just four ingredients down on this Diet Coke, and it ain't looking good for you, brother. But I'm the same way. I like Diet Coke, too. I like Coke Zero.
So how far
to go? But I've been trying to cut back. I have been trying to cut back and just go with iced tea or water, something like that. But water, to me, you got to get used to it. It's just so boring with a meal, huh?
It is.
You want to wash pizza down with a...
With a water.
With a water? That's not American. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's why when we all were growing up, going to Pizza Hut or Pizza Inn, they'd bring that big pitcher of soda.
That's what I'm talking about.
Set it down when you eat your pizza.
Right. All right. Anyway, moving along here, in all seriousness, there is a big meeting between RFK Jr. and the food manufacturing companies about the additives and what all they put in their food. And whether that's healthy for us or not, and to what extent that, the U.S. government should take action on this. I will say this. I've said this generally, and I found agreement almost, and I don't know how you prove this. Maybe RFK Jr. will institute studies that can prove some of this. But I've often thought that because of all the additives in our diet, for the average American, there are people who don't. There are a lot of, there are some people who are all natural, organic, and free range that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And God bless them.
Right.
But if you can live like that, God bless you. But most people can't don't or won't. So, but I've often thought all this stuff does lead to more cancer. But I can't prove that. But that's just my... I just think all this stuff that we put in our bodies on a regular basis probably leads to bad things happening in your body over time.
Fred said these chemicals have to go somewhere. They're artificial. How does the body deal with them? And let me just toss this one other thing in. We already have submitted, let me just put it this way. We've already submitted as a people to a system where the Food and Drug Administration already regulates food. Okay, so we can't say this is not a new thing.
That is true.
We already do that. I on Facebook hear people complaining that the FDA won't let people drink or sell
moonshine,
milk, raw milk. Raw milk. They say it has to be pasteurized, and the people say, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. People have been drinking milk for centuries and millennia, there's this clash in our culture between we want our food safely regulated so we can have a recall when we find out there's Listeria and this. And at the same time, we do want to make some of our own personal decisions.
Right.
How much room do we give the government?
I do think overall RFK Jr.'s perspective on things, which is non-conventional, and he's outside the norm. He's outside the industry, if you will. I'm ready to hear some what he has to say.
I am too.
And let him challenge some of these conventional ideas we've had about food manufacturing.
Because major corporations, this is part of what they do. I don't think they're bad guys for doing this. They want to maximize their profits.
Right.
So they're going to find cheaper ways to get food that people will eat and therefore buy.
Right.
Okay. But that doesn't always mean that they are going to have our health as their first concern. In fact, it's not their first concern. It's making money.
Yeah.
So somebody may have to broker a deal between the consumer and the manufacturer, and that could be RFK Jr.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, March the 10th, 2025. Thanks for listening to AFR, Tim, Ed, and Fred. Fred, what's your next story?
Well, this story comes with a warning. And the warning is, over the next several weeks, and in fact, it has started already in the mainstream media, all the cuts that are being made by Doge, Elon Musk and team, they're identifying areas that could be cut. And these various departments, the whole spectrum of federal government departments, are starting to cut jobs. you're going to start hearing, you're not going to get your Social Security check. Or if you're on Medicaid, they're going to cut Medicaid. All of these things. One of the latest examples is Veteran Affairs. You have probably heard, maybe even this weekend, that they have started to do job cuts within Veteran Affairs. And you're hearing in the mainstream media, oh, it's terrible. There are veterans that are working for Veteran Affairs and they're losing their jobs, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Secretary of Veteran Affairs is former Congressman Doug Collins. He responded to all of these accusations this morning. Very interesting. Have a listen to this. Cut number 11.
The government has decided to do lately is put money or people at something, then maybe we need to ask the better question is are we using our resources wisely and making sure that our department is taking care of the veteran, which is our only responsibility.
Now, you may remember over the last several years, there with the number of employees that the VA has had, we've heard horror stories of how veterans were being treated and basically not being treated.
Yeah.
For diseases. What Doug Collins is saying, we're going to put the treatment of the veterans at first, and if we don't need a big bureaucracy to run the place, which is starting to become a common thing that they're talking about where the cuts need to be made, we don't need 10 managers for every frontline worker. And so what he's saying is we're going to start putting the care of the veterans out there first, ahead of having a huge bureaucracy.
Yeah, and I think bureaucracy is becoming clear that the bureaucracies are part of the problem. The education bureaucracy, for example, in most states, half the budget goes to administration.
Yes.
And so people say, well, how come we're not paying our teachers more? Well, the money is, half of it's being swallowed up by the, in the opinion of a lot of people, bloated bureaucracy, the administration of a particular department. And so you're not anti-education if you're looking at the Department of Education. You are looking at how the money is being spent. Is there a better way to spend the money on the thing that most people think it's going for?
Yeah.
Educating students, or in this case, treating our veterans. Listen, it comes down to cities and states too. We all read the horror stories of veterans who were being put up at hotels in New York City, being bumped because the federal government was paying those hotels more money to house illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
So the veterans oftentimes get pushed to the bottom of the barrel. They're most of them retired. A lot of them are retired that are using the VA facilities. And they're kind of been shunted, pushed to the side. And so I'd like to see this come to pass where, if we're going to cut, the cuts should come to the bloated bureaucracy and let more money go to the vets.
Well, and add to this, there's so many DOGE stories right now, but here's a headline from the weekend. DOGE says $312 million in loans were given to children during the COVID pandemic.
Even under what? Age 11.
Even under age 11. Checks written to little kids.
How does that happen?
Well, because...
Parents apply for it using their kids as...
That's what it sounds like.
The fraud I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time fraud.
The amount... When this thing is finished...
Oh.
And they
You mean the audit of COVID?
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying the DOGE...
DOGE, okay.
...check of the federal bureaucracy. We are going to... I think we're gonna find hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars... They were stolen, wasted. We don't know where it went. And when you have that much money, it's free money to these people in D.C. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to find that family members were getting, you know, we hear about all these organizations that were created in the final months of the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got big federal contracts.
Yes.
You know, this is, we're going to find out just how corrupt D.C. Has been. Republican and Democratic administrations.
So what was that? What again? Repeat that story, if you would. This is DOGE.
Yes, this is
Elon Musk, Department of Government Efficiency.
That's right.
Okay.
Just one of the things they found.
Okay, they found out what?
They're finding out that checks totaling $312 million were given to children during the COVID pandemic.
So this must be, we remember that the federal government was giving loans
yes.
to companies to meet payroll.
That's right.
Or to continue the business operations because these companies were forced to shut down or partially lock down. And so these were loans that were given. So it sounds
that
like
were
parents,
given and forgiven, right?
They were in many cases given and then forgiven. It sounds like some parents were saying, "Well, my kid has a I'm making this up, but a lemonade stand business. I want a $1 million loan for
yeah.
my
yeah.
you know whatever
yeah.
$45,000 loan
yeah.
for my kid's lemonade stand business
right.
that she had to shut down because
right.
of lockdowns." And it looks like they were giving them out.
Well, my favorite senator, John Kennedy of Louisiana.
He's a lot of people's favorite.
Kind of wraps it up very nicely where we are with this. Cut number three.
The Democrats are mad at people who have found wasted taxpayer money, but they're not mad at the people who are wasting it.
That's the bottom line in all of this.
Yeah. I also think my own personal opinion, and again, this is a Republican problem. I'm sure it's a Republican problem and a Democratic problem. I think some of this anger coming from the Democratic Party, I think, is because they don't want the American people to find out how the Congress has been spending money.
Yes.
And they don't want to see that their pet projects, you know, the one that the government was spending money to create transgender mice,
yeah.
that will go down, in my mind, as one of the worst examples of government waste. The Democrats don't want people finding out how they game the system
mm-hmm.
during the Biden administration, especially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's the music.
You got time to wax eloquent if you can do it in 60 seconds.
What was I going to say? Forgot what I was going to say. Let me walk over there and come back.
Reset.
Yeah. Walk back over
go
there.
Go into the kitchen and come back.
Go into the kitchen.
You'll remember.
Come back and then I'll remember what I was going to say. Well, no, I know what I was going to say. What Elon Musk is doing through the Department of Government Efficiency, basically he's doing a much-needed audit of all the federal government agencies. And I've never heard of such. And it's been long, long overdue so that we can at least know, American people can know what our tax dollars are going for with
right.
respect to all these three-letter agencies that are out there basically running our lives. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.